Remember I said we have a special guest today. In your journey, in rather our journey towards functioning at our full potential, we need to make sure that we are at our best. So tonight, like I mentioned earlier, I have a powerhouse here to tell us about her journey and how she overcame the tough challenges and she had to face in life. Let me just brag a bit about her, right? Pastor Mihloti Joy Mukhale has extensive knowledge and experience in the human resources and organizational behavior field, with more than 13 years experience in the corporate sector. She has held both HR generalist and strategic leadership positions. She is registered with SA Board for People Practices. Her passion is empowering and developing leaders to excel in impacting people, organizations, and nations. She has embarked on a career as a personal and leadership development consultant. Pastor Joy is the CEO of Elect Couture Boutique, and together with her husband, Pastor Wanka Mukhale, both senior pastors, lead Grace Kingdom Community Center based in Garankuwa, South Africa. Pastor Joy, how are you doing this evening?
Hi, my sister Tsulanang. Thank you so much for having me, and I just want to greet the listeners. I'm very, very excited about being on the show tonight.
Ah, thank you. I'm very honored, actually, to have you on the show. If I don't know if you remember me, but my family used to go to your church, and I actually grew up in Grace. It used to be Grace Bible Church back when it started. Go, what's the name of that? Medunsa. Yes, 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 yes. So I'm very, very honored to have you on the show, to have you here tonight, and to talk to you about quite a few things that I have listed here in front of me. And before we get into the nitty-gritties, I believe women are multifaceted beings. And I just shared about the professional side of Pastor Joy. How's about you tell us about who Mihloti Mukhale is?
Mihloti Mukhale is just a Jesus girl from Endokaya, go Middlelands. I love the Lord very much, and my motto in life is impact and relevance. I am so crazy about people development, and I love doing that even with my eyes closed. That's basically who I am.
Ah, I love it. I love it. And this month, we have been chatting about mental health and learning from different people about the different ways we could help loved ones who have mental health issues and how we as a people can improve and better our own mental health. Something I have noticed is that Christians can struggle with seeking professional mental health services because of fear that underlying principles of therapy may be in conflict with their faith, or even when they go for these services, they may hold back so much, thereby building a wall between them that results in them limiting the possible positive impact that the professionals may have. What would you say to that?
I think for me, that is a fact. You know, until recently, in the church circle particularly, the focus has been mostly on nourishing the spirit. And the side effect of that, unfortunately, is that the soul has been neglected. Soul, I'm talking about the mind, the emotions, and the will. And also the body has been neglected to, you know, somewhat. And we were not paying attention to physical health, what we're eating, what to avoid so as not to cause any diseases. So I think even with what you've said, these things that are happening in the church are unintentional. However, mental wellness in the church currently is gaining traction, you know. And so we just need to, we need more health advocates. And this starts with church leadership, because they have to lead by example. I believe that if the senior pastor is not open enough, you know, about their mental wellness challenges or their emotional challenges, the church will also keep quiet. So it's the what John Maxwell says, it is the law of the lead. So, but I just want to talk about myself. I only also, you know, being in these church cycles, started therapy recently and had no idea how to behave. You know, just going there for me was so nerve-wracking. I remember a friend of mine, Manani, told me that, friend, there's no couch to lie down. So you are just going to sit there and look at the psychologist in the eyes. Forget about the couch. Everything we've seen on TV is non-existent. the reason why I think we are shunning from this topic is the stigma that is attached, you know, where one is labeled to be crazy if you are taking a certain medication, and should you happen maybe to be you know, on the wrong side, or you've woken up on the wrong side that day, then people will say, ah, not a bilisi today. Yes. So I think the stigma that is attached that makes people not want to come out. Then, you know, when I went to the psychologist myself, the first time I went, having no idea what to talk about, I remember I just cried so much that the doctor was saying, yo, it means Mosbo Mamuruti, you are caring so much. And she was not aware that we are caring so much, but I was going there for myself as a daughter, for myself as a woman, for myself as a girl. But what people don't realize at Solaneng is that Jesus died for the brokenhearted, and that healing is a process. So I'd encourage people really who are currently struggling to reach out to professionals and never walk alone. There's only so much that a church can do, that a pastor can do, but God has given us a kaleidoscopic of help us out there. And mental wellness, or, you know, a mind professionals or a psychologist, you know, they are part of God's plan for all of us.
Indeed, indeed. Thank you so much for sharing that and your personal story as well. And in terms of how us as Christians support one another through this general counseling, do you have any tips as to how we can do this well in a way that helps us acknowledge the general difficulties of life as well as the valuable help we can get from professionals?
It's a very, very good question, especially around the support. It's very uncommon for people to speak openly in church because they are scared of gossip. You know, someone has, did tell someone their story before, and then their story was published without their knowledge. So they feel that there's no confidentiality. So we have to create authentic circles of brotherhood, authentic circles of sisterhood, where we can openly discuss pertinent issues without labeling, without judgment. People must just be willing to talk about themselves and their challenges and not other people's challenges. That's part of healing. Also, let us show more of our withered hand than the perfect hand to those who care. Because a lot of us, we just want to, you know, I woke up like this. Every picture that you see on the gram, it's a perfect picture. No one wants to talk about their dirty or hanging dirty linen out there, or the issues of their weaknesses. When Jesus said to the man with the withered hand, give me your hand, he stretched out the hand that was withered. So if we could just learn to be open in these brotherhood circles, sisterhood circles, it would really help. And also just to speak the truth in love and don't be afraid as a Christian to refer someone to a professional. That's what I've been doing this year. Was just, you know, in TikTok they say we are Goisha, so I was coaching a lot this year, so I've been referring quite a lot of people to my therapist.
Oh, that's beautiful. And you know, maybe I might just want those numbers as well. But
certainly.
yes. And then I'm going to ask you a very weird-ish question, right? And it could be because of the spaces that we're exposed to, or rather the fact that we have social media exposing us to so much in this day and age, right? So it seems like mental health issues are becoming more popular, or rather we are more exposed to it, if I can put it that way. Is this because we are accessing more information about it, or might it be that the same source informing us is also creating environments that result in mental health issues?
Also a very good question. I think when you speak about the source, for me the source is technology. We live in an era of unlimited access to information, and this is made possible by technological advancement. But the downside of that access and the, you know, unlimitedness of tech is that people are scrolling more than they are living. So it has become quite a lonely world. Although we are, you know, just go to the malls, you'll see that people are working together in groups of three or two or four, but they are all scrolling, they are not connecting. So that human connection that used to come organically has been lost since technological advancement. And the stats that we have been, you know, that we've been exposed to, they are a living testimony because they are based on scientific research, and we have to start forging our way back to village living or village life, where our evenings, you know, where with less distractions, our evenings were for dinner and storytelling around the fire. We need, as communities, as families, we need to resign from always scrolling and start living with intention to fulfill God's purpose. And having said that, the greatest tool we all have is choice. Choice to know when to access and not when to. You have to say, you know, today I'm not going on social media, because it becomes so, so addictive. Everyone must know their technological access threshold. And I see also with our mothers, with pensioners, there many times they forward those TikTok videos. I'm not sure who's giving them data. And most of it, it's false news they forward every day. So I believe that, especially about depression being the number one disorder in the world, especially after the pandemic, everything just went crazy.
That's very true. I mean, we were exposed to ourselves, actually. We were in a space where we didn't have access to anything or anyone, and all we had was to face our own struggles, our own challenges, and we couldn't run away from that. So that is very true. 2020 really exposed quite a lot to ourselves, in our mental state even. And and then, amongst other things, right? Sorry, you wanted to say something?
I just wanted to say that also our value system, our belief system was challenged to the core.
Yes. Yes.
Because churches were closed, schools were closed, everything as we have known it was just shut down. So you were forced to be with this God that you believe existed. And where did we find ourselves? Still scrolling. So I think we need these boot camps where we're just going to leave our phones away and just learn to live without these phones.
No, indeed, I agree. And amongst other things that I have shared in the intro, you are also an author. Tell us about the book that you've written. What inspired you to write this book?
My book is called Undistracted. I was inspired by God. He said, finish. You know, he said, start. He said, write self-help books. So when I received that prophetic word, I then started, you know, to finish the book, especially during the pandemic, because I had so much time. But this book is a memoir, and it is inspired by God and circumstances and my life experiences, you know. So it is a memoir about my life from a young age until now. I turned 50 recently. I was distracted by so many things in life. It is a book that is highlighting the wrong choices I made as a girl, as a young woman, my struggle also with depression, substances, and how I learned over the years to overcome. And some of the things I had to overcome, I am covering them in the book. The fear that was instilled in me as a young person, or as a young child, as a young girl, 4-year-old in 1976, so way to uprising, that has had an impact upon me. And having to write this book, I had to relive those moments to say, how was my experience? You know, God has blessed me with my love language is words of affirmation. So I remember words very easy. So it was very easy for me to write a book. And some of the things I had to overcome, like instability that was caused by many changes. I migrated so much in life that change itself became a constant. I had to overcome tribalism. I had to overcome colorism. When I moved from my paternal grandmother's place to the new house that we had to be forced abruptly to move to, I was then introduced to tribalism. Whenever my friend wanted to taunt somebody, she would say, "Lento mnyama ngathi uyishangan," because I am Tsonga, I speak Xitsonga ni Mutsonga. So because my people are dark in color, they were ridiculed, there were enough comedy material. So I had to overcome tribalism and racism that I endured in university. And I also write about my corporate life changes, discrimination, unfairness, and just, you know, I don't want to give out a lot, how promotion truly comes from God. And one of the two questions God asked me when I asked him, God, why was I stuck in corporate? We all want upward mobility, we want promotion. And when I asked God, why was I stuck for 7 years? You'd be shocked the answer that he gave me.
Please share.
I think I'll end it right here.
No, it's not a problem. It's not a problem.
You know why I'm saying it? I'm saying it because sometimes you look at your boss like, this boss does not want to promote me. You fast and you pray, and God is just folding his arms, looking at, when are you going to be realigned to my plan, my will, and my purpose? He's not about to give you a Bugatti if you don't even have a driver's license. It's all about maturing into sonship before he's able to give us certain things. So when he answered me that faithful Thursday evening after I was preaching there in my office, I was like, yeah, ne, okay. So it is going to encourage especially those who are professionals, so that they don't look at their boss with snacks eyes.
I like that.
Emotion truly comes from God.
Indeed, indeed. Oh, I love that. Do you perhaps have your book by you? I want you to read something for us.
Okay, just give me a minute.
No problem. I told you guys, you don't want to miss this conversation. Pastor Joy Mohale, such an amazing woman, wisdom filled, and with a lot of pearls of wisdom for us to share, so that we can learn on how to navigate, you know, through circumstances in life and through different, overcoming even our own bad choices. Welcome back, Pastor Joy. So I would like you, such a beautiful cover, actually. I would like you to read the foreword for us.
Okay, I'm not going to cry. Okay, this is a foreword by my son, NJ Mohale. Njabulo Katloho Mohale, I'm reading. My mother has taken pieces from a deep wealth of experience to make a movie in book form. At the heart of it is a story about not giving up, a story of a girl from unfortunate circumstances slowly crawling her way up to success, love, and wholeness. It is not a self-help book. It's supposed to inspire you. I think in life we are faced by a multitude of challenges. It's very easy to succumb or to think your life is meant to stop where you currently are. But she's telling you a story that says, if you want something, go get it and don't stop until you do. I don't think reading this book will change your life, but what I know what it will do is change your perspective. A dream deferred is not a dream denied. I've been told the story surrounding my birth, and yes, it's a messy one, but I have to say, I didn't even know something was missing in my life. I had a full and happy childhood. I also had the privilege of watching my mother smash each and every single of her goals. To this day, she's still reaching her dreams, and all that she does is make me want to go harder in life because I know it's possible. Reading where she has come from and what she's been through, it's nothing short of amazing. And I feel if you're not entertained by her story, you'll at the very least learn something. NJ Mohale.
Such beautiful words by your son. What made you choose him to write the foreword?
Ish, my son is, you know, this is him.
Such a beautiful picture.
As a baby. And, you know, it is very sad that the condemnation I had when I had a child out of wedlock, I don't even have our, you know, pictures together with him. It is only now that I realize how broken I was. My son is a creative. He's a musician. He edited my book. He brought vibrance, relevance, and relatedness as a young person. He said, Mama, you must be relatable. When people read this book, you know, like words like groove, I could have written Neretswala Sekele, like, okay, we were not there, Gabo 19, whatever, you know. So he helped me, he forced me to think out of the box, asking me difficult questions and helping me to stick to the theme of the book. So he's also part of the story and appreciates the difficulties that I overcame as a young person, as a woman, and through him, having written a foreword, I believe it helped me to come full circle. I turned 50 in October, The book was launched in September, and he's turning 25 in November. When I had him, I was 25. So everything is coming full circle. He's born again. He's making right choices. So I believe through him, I'm receiving restoration as well. He's such a smart and young man.
Ah, indeed, indeed. So you're a powerhouse of a woman. Overcame so many of these circumstances that you write about in your book. Which chapter was the hardest to write and why?
A powerhouse. What a beautiful compliment to be appreciated like that. I'm just saying, oh, wow. Thank you, Tsolanang. It is so nice of you. Certainly, the most challenging for me was chapter 5, falling for the wrong guy, you know, because I fell for the wrong guy, and I had a child out of wedlock with a married man when I was 25 and not born again. Hence, I said earlier on, you know, I felt like my son writing the foreword was more a full circle for me. So writing about it made me to relive the experience of the condemnation I felt back then, the shame. I had to revisit the anger, the disappointment, and so much more. So I think it stands to be the most difficult I had to write. But, you know, what I liked also writing about it is that I was no longer writing through the eyes of pain or the vantage point of shame and condemnation. I was writing more through the lenses of redemption, looking through the eyes of Christ into my past and see the worth of the blood that was shed for me.
Indeed, indeed. And like you mentioned, chapter 5 was one of the hardest for you to write, right? And chapter 5, you also talk about falling for the right guy, and then you jump over to chapter 9 where you talk about falling in love. Tell us about the difference between the two chapters and how the former chapter prepared you, or rather prepared your heart for the latter chapter.
Actually, the question to the previous... the answer to the previous question is chapter 4. Sorry about that. So chapter 5, falling for the right guy, and jumping over to chapter 9, falling, you know, about falling in love. For me, I'd like the listeners and the readers to rediscover who the right guy is, because I made a mistake of falling for the wrong guy. And I want the readers to judge if truly he was the right guy, and why I fell for him before I got married in chapter 9. And I'm still in love with that guy. Does it make me someone who's in a polygamous relationship? Only the readers can discover.
So
I'm keeping this right. I'm not letting go of this right guy.
I love it. I love it. So am I right to assume that this right guy is, of course, Jesus?
You know, I must bring you a copy so that you can discuss us more about who this right guy is.
Don't worry. I've already made plans to come and get myself a book. I'm already I'm a step ahead. I'm a foot ahead there. So you have...
I may just surprise you. Oh,
well, I love surprises. So you have embarked on a tour for your book. Please share the details of this tour. Will there be any readings by yourself on this tour?
Any news of book reading will be posted on my social media platforms. But having embarked on a tour, this is my second radio interview, with the third one coming tomorrow evening, and I'm hoping to get more. So currently I'm knocking on doors of churches to be featured so I can promote my book. And I truly believe that a new ministry has unfolded, and many will be healed and restored by reading this memoir. Girls, boys, men, women, mothers, fathers, students, and professionals alike.
Indeed, indeed. And Pastor Joy, before I let you go, any pearls of wisdom you would like to share to a young girl or boy who has found themselves in situations that resulted from wrong decisions, or even from circumstances that brought them to the place that they would rather not be in?
Yeah, thank you so much. To you, whether you are that boy or that girl, whether you are that woman or that man, I just want to say, you may think that you are not hearing from God, and that he has forgotten about you. To the contrary, I want you to know that God is using your circumstances to draw your attention to Him. Mm. He speaks daily, but you need to be within reach of His voice. Run towards Him and not away from Him. That's what I did when I kept making the wrong choices in life. And He convicted me that particular Sunday to say, Joy, you were treating me like a jilted lover. You ran away from me when I wanted you to run to me. So I am speaking from, you know, a experience. I'm speaking as a witness. So God is waiting for you, just like a loving father. So instead of running away from Him, run to Him.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Pastor Joy. Thank you for lending me your time. I truly appreciate it. And if people, like you mentioned, you'll be posting the tour on your social media sites. If people want to follow you and have access to your pearls of wisdom, where can they find you?
I am on TikTok. I call myself the TikTok pastor. And my handle is Pastor Joy Mogale. And on Facebook, it's Joy Mogale, JoyMogale. And on Instagram is Mrs_Mogale. And I also have a website, MihlotiMogale.com. MihlotiMogale, Mogale with a G, .com. And I also have some office numbers should they want to, you know, hook up with me.
100%. Please do send them through to me and I will share it with our listeners, okay? And ladies and gentlemen, that was a Pastor Joy Mogale, a wonderful, amazing woman with pearls of wisdom galore. And something I picked up recently is the fact that she has a podcast, the Joy Mogale podcast. You can find it on Apple Podcasts, Spotify and Google Podcasts. Anywhere else that people can follow you, apart from all these sites that we've mentioned, is there any other platform that can follow you?
I am on YouTube as well.
Perfect. I mean, an all-rounder.
I'm an all-rounder girl. I have arrived.
Thank you so much. Thank you for your time, Pastor Joy.
God bless you.
God bless you too. That was Pastor Joy Mogale. And coming up right now is Focus on the Family with a teaching about how to navigate the conversation with your child as a single parent about your ex in a wise and God-honoring way.